Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This program is going to be the 13th program that we have presented in the review of the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, we've talked about the 13 judges that are recorded in this book. Today, we're going to have a few final comments over the entire period that is explained to us in this book. And these are going to be a summary of the last five chapters that are given. These last five chapters in the book of Judges, dear people, they are horrible. They are deplorable. They are something that absolutely just, we cringe when we read about it. Because these things that are depicted in these last five chapters, they give us the concept better of how far removed from the faithfulness to God the people of Israel actually had brought themselves during this period. It reveals the extent of the wicked measures that characterized them. And we have two verses in these last chapters, as we mentioned them. They are almost identical, but they pretty well explain why Judges was such a horrible period. In the verse 6 of chapter 17, and also chapter 21, verse 25, we read, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Well, this is a general and summary statement of the spiritual attitude of the people of Israel during the period of the judges, and we would see why they would wander away from God, go into the depths of sin and punishment. There was no central authority. There was no king. There was no one to permanently enforce the rule of law, and law was simply not upheld among the people. Everybody just simply believed and acted and did as they saw fit. Well, this, of course, amounts to nothing more than just spiritual anarchy. Everybody becomes his own lawmaker. Everybody becomes his own judge. Everybody becomes his own jury. And, dear friend, even though some today deny it, those who contend that men today are guided by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, I suggest they contend for a similar condition. Now, here's why. Each person is supposed to hear from the Holy Spirit what he thinks is right, what he thinks is wrong. Each one does as his own will dictates. Oh, they claim that the Holy Spirit has told them to do these things. The Holy Spirit has told them to teach these things. But the Holy Spirit does not tell people the same message. In fact, they give messages that are directly contradictory to each other. With the claim that the Holy Spirit guides them directly, they're contending that there is no absolute and objective truth by which to measure what is acceptable to God. And the doctrine that we should let our conscience be our guide, it produces nothing but confusion and division. Yes, the conscience is to be our guide, but the conscience has to be trained according to the will of God to be a reliable guide. And this doctrine that men have, that sincerity and honesty, that is sufficient. Why, you do what really matters to you. It doesn't make any difference to some whether it's truth or whether it's error. Why, they simply want to do what they want to do. And if they're sincere about it, why, God is going to accept it anyway, because the Holy Spirit had guided them in that direction. Friend, that's nothing more than contending for what existed during the days of Judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, let me illustrate. Here's the idea propagated by a lot of religionists. Join the church of your choice. Why, that contributes to the same lawlessness and the disrespect for divine authority that we read about in Scripture? Where do we read of anybody that's guided by the Holy Spirit recorded in Scripture that ever taught people to join the church of his choice? After all, the Lord only established one church. The church is called the body of Christ. Paul said there is one body. As I have said before, so say I now again, it doesn't take an Einstein to know that there's only one church that's pleasing in the sight of God, not all the multitude of denominations that men have invented and created down through the years. Join the church of your choice? By what authority will men have to teach other men to do that? And then we have the teaching, one church is just as good as another church. Well, friend, there's no doubt that one denomination is just about as good as the other denomination, but no denomination is as good as the church for which the Lord shed his blood. You see, there's the attitude in the world today, you go your way and I'll go mine and we'll both be all right. Now, even though we contradict one another and are going in different directions, everything is going to be all right. Well, such foolishness ought to be seen by people of reason. This thing, everything is beautiful in its own way. There's even a song that people sing that says that. Friend, nothing could be further from the truth. Everything is not beautiful in its own way. Some things are far from beautiful. They're an abomination to the Lord. And this is precisely what was dominating the spiritual scene in Israel in so much of the period of the judges. It was a period of men doing their own thing. That was the order of the day. Satisfy self. That was the way that they did, and that's the way that so many are doing even today. Little wonder that the people of Israel would digress from God when they had this attitude. They would go their own way. They would leave God. Oh, yes, they would repent and return to God. But that same liberal attitude, whole against absolute authority, is seen even yet today in our own rank and in our own religious communities. I say to you, friend, that the record of Judges, it causes one to weep and to wonder how the people of God brought out of Egypt, how they had been nourished for many years. They had been blessed with provisions, God fulfilling the promises that he had made to them, giving them a land in which to dwell. How could they have been so hard of heart and so seared of conscience to do the things that they did against each other? And in violation of the will of God, not just once or twice, but over and over and over again, they seemingly refused to learn. What a rebellious and wicked nation ancient Israel did become, and what a contrast to the glorious days of victory and faithfulness that they earlier had enjoyed under Moses and Joshua. With hundreds of years being spent in this fashion, little wonder that the people began to clamor for some other manner of rule over them after Eli and Samuel. They wanted a king. But if they had only obeyed the Lord was their king. It wasn't that the system was bad. They simply did not follow God's system. They could have enjoyed prosperity in the land that flowed with milk and honey, the land that God wanted them to have, but a land that they saw fit to lose because they were disobedient to God. Yes, the time of the judges was a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, the next book in the Bible after the book of Judges is the book of Ruth. Now, the events recorded in Ruth, and this is the reason we mention it, took place in the days of the judges. We don't know, well, we do not know which judge was ruling at the time, but it was a time when the Moabites did indeed allow some of the Israelites to flee the hardships imposed upon them and to come and to live in the land of the Moabites. but that time cannot be ascertained with any certainty. The time element of the Book of Ruth, however, like the time element of the Judges, that is not the most important thing. There is a reason the Book of Ruth is so important. Ruth married a man named Boaz, and she and Boaz had a son whose name was Obed. And Obed had a son whose name was Jesse, and Jesse had a son whose name was David. Now Ruth, of course, was a Moabite woman. She was a Gentile. David, of course, was a physical ancestry of the Christ child that was born in Bethlehem. This simply means that this Gentile woman of Ruth was indeed an ancestor of the physical Christ. What do we learn from Judges? Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. We see in examples of great leadership during this period, such as the leadership of Gideon, which probably excels them all. We see the need for every generation to be faithful to God. That means every generation must be taught everything. People need to know the will of God. You can't believe it, you can't obey it, you can't follow it, you can't leave it, live it, if you don't know what it is. The importance of teaching the Bible cannot be overemphasized. But we also see the possibility of apostasy. We can see how people can be faithful to God for a certain period and then come along and abandon that and go their own way and bring upon themselves the very destruction that God did not want them to suffer. This doctrine of once saved, always saved, it is not only repudiated steadfastly in the New Testament, the entire book of Judges is a repudiation of that false doctrine. Why men want to teach things that are so contradictory to what the Bible so explicitly and plainly illustrates and teaches, it's hard to imagine. But we see, dear friend, this was a most distressful time. But we learn from these things, if we only would. Paul said in Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. You see, the book of Judges, like all of the history, and the Bible has a lot of history in it, the book of Judges was written not just to tell us about what happened to this nation of Israel. That's interesting. It is beneficial. But it is written for our benefit, that we can learn from it if we only will. We see the principles of God in dealing with man. Some of these principles have not changed from dispensation to dispensation. They're still true today. God still expects men to believe and to obey His will. We are not at liberty to just go our own way. People talk about religious freedom. Well, the Bible teaches that we have the freedom to serve God God's way. We're not to think that religious freedom means that whatever way we choose to serve God is going to be acceptable to Him. We must serve God God's way. And when we do, we will see that righteousness exalteth a nation. We're glad that you've heard our study on the book of Judges. This is The Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.